This morning, the topic is to be of good courage. And the topic of courage. And what is courage? One time I was watching a golf match, and the golfers were walking up the 18th fairway to the end of the, and the announcer's going, "Look at the courage." And I thought, they're playing golf. They're playing golf. But courage is that ability, that strength to act in spite of fear and the willingness to persevere through awkward difficulties. It's not just about facing dangers, but it's also about acting in accordance with what you believe, your values, your convictions. It's a strength to dare, to venture, to act, to persevere, to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. One of the things I just definitely want us to know today is that courage is not the absence of fear. It's dealing with it. When we have fears in our lives, everyone has fears. But courage is the strength and ability to deal with it. Mark Twain once said, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the acting in spite of it. He must have been friends with Merriam-Webster because it's very similar definitions. But if this courage is that strength and that ability to act, to persevere in spite of the fear of the difficulties that we're facing, where does this strength come from? Where do we go to get a batch of courage? But for the believer, it's God. For the unbeliever, sometimes it's duty. They get courage because of their duty. Sometimes it's for, they have courage because they have great natural ability. For some, it's courage as they take courage because they don't want to look wimpy or faint-hearted. And for some, people can gather courage to protect their loved ones or to take care of their loved ones. But what our source of courage is, our true source of courage, our genuine source of courage, comes from God. It comes from God. We looked at peace. We looked at reverence. We looked at humility. We looked at all these things recently in dealing with the things that come at us in life. So we look to God for our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We didn't sing that this morning. We could have. But where do we get this courage? Courage comes from trusting in God. It comes from trusting in God and in His strength and in His power. It also comes from being assured of God's presence, that He's with us. Like it says in Hebrews, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He loves us. It also comes by standing firmly, believing and trusting in God's promises. Not just in His promises, but that God is faithful, able, and willing to bring His promises to pass. That's a source of courage. That's a source of courage. We're going to turn our Bibles to a great verse in dealing with fears and things like that. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. Heard it quoted a lot. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're really going to dive deep into this verse because it's more than what it appears. 2 Timothy First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 7. And before we read this verse, let us think about who is this verse written to? The name of the book specifically addressed to Timothy. He was no slouch. Timothy was handpicked by Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was handpicked by Jesus Christ himself. And yet, Paul is addressing this with this great man, Timothy. So think about that as we look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Well, you could say to yourself, well, I have fear. What this book and in this chapter and in this verse is saying, the word for fear is the Greek word dile or dilea. I'm not pronouncing it right. It's not the regular word for fear, which is phobos. Maybe you've heard of phobia. This is a different word. This isn't talking about fear. When it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, what he's saying here is God hath not given us the spirit of cowardice, of timidity. If the word timid means you're frightened easily. Frightened easily. God has not given us the spirit of cowardice. He has not given us the spirit of timidity. But, and then it goes on in contrast. The first thing we got to recognize is if we have, and everyone has this at times, different things, what causes me to have difficulty with fear doesn't you, and what causes you to have difficulty with some fears, it doesn't me. But everyone has difficulties with fear. But the one thing, God, the first step we have to look at when we're dealing with overcoming fears is that God didn't give us this spirit of cowardice. God didn't give us this spirit of timidity. It didn't come from God. Right away, that didn't come from God. Then it says, but. In contrast, what does come from God? What does come from God? A spirit of power. A spirit of love. A spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind. This word for sound mind, it's where you don't have confusion, where you're not confused, you're not overwhelmed, you're not taken out. It literally means to break down. He has given us a sound mind, a spirit of a sound mind. He has given us power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, the opposite of being broken down, the opposite of being confused, the opposite of panic when you look at the Greek dictionaries. That's what he has given us. So when we, in our lives, are dealing with difficulties and fear starts to govern the show, and y'all, have you ever been there where fear starts to rule? Fear starts to take over? Whoa, it didn't come from God. And what does come from God is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. When it talks about giving us power. He gives us that strength to be courageous. Remember, courage is not the absence of fears. It's not the absence of difficulties with fears. It's the strength and the ability to deal with the difficulties of fears when they come. And when it comes to this spirit of power, it brings to my mind the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So as we endeavor to live our lives to the glory of God for the purposes of his kingdom, it's God that works in us. Where do we get the strength to do that? Where do we get the strength to be bold when we really don't want to be bold, when we don't want to stand out when it comes to God's word or when it comes to righteous living? Everybody else is doing this. They think it odd that you don't want to riot with them, to live a holy life, to live a godly life, to glorify God and not self and not world. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. A sound mind is the concept of a calm, self-controlled mind, in contrast to panic and breaking down. When we look at in our society today, there's a courage problem. It's a courage problem because people are drawing their strength, trying to be courageous, from themselves and not from God. My abilities, natural abilities, are limited. If I trust in them, if I trust in my own natural abilities, my own mental acumen, I will fail. I will fall short. Just when I need it the most, I will fall short. But if the strength to be courageous, right, the strength, the ability to deal with fears and difficulties, to persevere when you don't want to persevere, when you think you're not strong enough to persevere, the strength comes from God. For it is God that worketh in us to will to do of his good pleasure. If he wants us to do his good pleasure, and he's at work in us, not just to want to do his good pleasure, to will, but to do it. That's our God. He has not given us a spirit of cowardice or timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. This power, love, and sound mind comes from God. The spirit of cowardice, the spirit of timidity, does not come from God. If we think, well, why did God give me this? He didn't. We're going to go to the book of Numbers to see an example of a people, not just a person, but a people that had a courage problem. And their fears overwhelmed them because they had a courage problem, because they didn't trust in God. They weren't assured of his presence. And they didn't believe in his promises as being true. And that's how we get courage. That's how we can be courageous, is by trusting in God, by being assured of his presence, and to believe in our heart of hearts and trust that when he says something, he means it and he will bring it to pass. So we're going to go to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And we're going to look at the children of Israel. They had left Egypt. And it says they left Egypt under the mighty hand of God's strength and God's power. Did they witness God's miraculous power in their exodus from Egypt? Over and over and over again. Were they delivered by the miraculous power of Jehovah in exiting Egypt? Yes. And now they want to go into the promised land. Do you remember how they knew God was with them at this period of time? Do you remember? During the day, you'd see a pillar of cloud. And during the night, you'd see a pillar of fire. The manifested presence of the glory of God were with them wherever they went. Well, actually, they were supposed to follow it. If it stayed put, they were supposed to stay put. When it moved, they moved. But the manifested presence of the power of God was right there. A pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire. We don't have that today, do we? But what do we have? Oh, yeah, Holy Spirit. Every day, every moment, we have it. We have a witness in us as born-again ones that God is with us. So when we think of that verse in Hebrews 13, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We have the witness in us. Isn't that something? Well, anyway, children of Israel, chapter 13, they send spies. You've heard the story of the spies, right? Anybody? They send spies into the promised land. Not to see whether they should go in or not. They sent spies into the promised land to see what kind of place it was. What kind of place did God say it was? Do you remember? A land flowing with milk and honey. A fruitful land. A beautiful land. A wonderful land. A land that He said He gave to them. It's for you. I've reserved it for you. Well, if you reserved it for us, God, how come you've got all these Canaanites in the land of Canaan? Well, guess who built the cities? Cultivated the fields. Planted the fields. The Canaanites. It was a land of milk and honey. You just go and take it. Right? Sent the spies in. 10 spies came back. Yep, it's beautiful. It's lovely. And here's some of the fruit from the land. Do you remember how the cluster of grapes? Huge. On a staff between two people on their shoulders. One clump of grapes. That's a vineyard. You go up to visit Mary and Bruce, and you got all those vineyards all over the place. I have not seen one cluster of grapes that big. And then pomegranates and all these wonderful fruits. The land is gorgeous. But they said, but there's giants there. There's giants there. Let's look at verse 23. Verse 23, chapter 13 of Numbers. Verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two people upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went in and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and sure enough, it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak were the giants, right? And the Amalekites dwell on the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and all these Ites. They dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up to him said, "We be not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land though we through which we went have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." And there they saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. This is how they perceived it. We're like grasshoppers to them. They're giants. They look at us like we're we. What did God say? What did God just get done doing? The greatest military might in the world at that time destroyed in one fell swoop in the Red Sea when the waters came, took out Pharaoh's army. None of these people had armies like Pharaoh's army. And God had just done this for the children of Israel. They just saw it. They saw all the plagues in Egypt and everything that God did, the miraculous things that God did to deliver them. And now when they go in, this is what they saw. Remember, courage isn't the lack of fear. It's how we deal with the difficulty of fear. Look at the next verse in chapter 14. This is when we let fear govern our lives. This is what happens. You step on a water bottle. This is what happens. It says, and all the, this is verse 14, right? They just got done saying, we're like grasshoppers to them. Verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Does this sound like somebody's having a difficulty dealing with fear? They're crying all night. They wept that night. In verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, and they murmured against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would that God would we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" You know what? One of the things you see when someone's lacking courage and fear is ruling in their lives is avoiding. The children of Israel wanted to avoid the whole thing about, even though it's a land of milk and honey, even though it's fruitful like Get Out, even though the cities are already built for them. Can you imagine the real estate agents? "And here we have a lovely three-bedroom home, and it's yours for the taking. God said so," right? They cried all night. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron. Said, "I would to God that we should have died, that we should be in Egypt, dying in Egypt, or dying in the wilderness. Let's go back to Egypt." Did they forget where they what they were delivered from? Did they forget all the making the bricks and the whippings and the, your children being taken away from you and all that and not being able to worship the one true God as you would please to do? Did they forget all that? Yeah, they did. They did. All except for two people. Joshua and Caleb. Because Joshua and Caleb did those three things we talked about. They trusted in God. They were assured of God's presence, that God was with them. And they were assured that God was faithful to his promise. He had promised, God had promised this land to them. Where God said, I will give this land to you. They'd forgotten. They'd forgotten, or they dismissed the promises of God. They'd forgotten, or they dismissed the demonstrated power of God. How many times have we had in our lives where we've known God was on display, where God did something for us, and it wasn't your average little thing, right? We've had those experiences in our life where God did the work, God put on the show. Do we dismiss that? Do we forget about that? Sometimes we do. Sometimes when we're faced something a lot less than what God had delivered us from before, we dismiss it or we forget about it in approaching the difficulties of the fearing that we have. If you go to verse 24 of chapter 14, we'll see a little bit what God says about Caleb. Caleb. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know what happened to all the people said, oh, we're not going in there because our kids and our wives are going to get killed. You know what happened to them? They never got to go in. They had to die off before the children of Israel went in. Because there's something about courage. There's something about courage. It's contagious. You ever seen it? Courage is contagious. And there's something about cowardice. You know what it is? It's contagious. And you had a cowardice contagion go through the children of Israel because they didn't trust God, because they weren't assured of his presence, and they didn't believe in his promises. Caleb did. Joshua did. They both got to go in and see the promised land. Now, when I said the children of Israel dismissed or forgot what God said unto them, let's go to the book of Exodus. Previous, right? Previous, the book of Exodus, chapter 15. And this is all the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 15 is right after the Red Sea, right after the army of Pharaoh was destroyed, right after they saw a miracle of the water standing up like a wall. Wouldn't that be cool? You watch the old movies and the terrible special effects, you know, Charlton Heston, and they're going through and the water's standing up and everything. It's pretty cool even back then, but can you imagine what it really looked like, you know? Would it really happen? So this is right after that. Right after that miraculous deliverance. It's a song. It's a song. It's called the Song of Moses. And you know what kind of song it is? It's a victory song. The Song of Moses. It's a victory song about God. It's a victory song. When you see these things, and the children of Israel, it says, then, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he hath thrown in the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation, my deliverance. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank into the bottom like a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, and it consumed them as stubble. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered up together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them, and I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. That's what the enemies were saying. That's what the Pharaoh's armies were saying. Children of Israel, they got to the Red Sea. Oops, we're stuck. Right here, we got the sea, sure. The sea's here, and here's the Pharaoh's army. What do? God parts the sea. They walk on dry ground, it said. Not mucky ground, not kind of soggy ground, dry ground. And when Pharaoh's armies chased in afterwards, because you can imagine Pharaoh's armies like, I don't know, do you want to go in? I don't know. It's like, it's just a sea. And then when they do pursue, and they're singing about it. All of them are singing about it. All of them. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? That's miracles. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Now watch this. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. Overwhelmed is what that means. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. Trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. You see what they were singing? What did they know about the people of the land when they showed up? They were going to be afraid. They were going to melt. They would be like a stone. Can you imagine? They were singing this. Then, as we wrap this up, let's go to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Right in the beginning, chapter 1, Joshua, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord is thy God, the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. Wait a minute, Jim, because it says here, don't be afraid, and right? And you said, well, courage isn't the absence of fear. That's because this word afraid isn't like fear of the Lord word. This word afraid means terrified to the point of paralysis, broken down, terrified, shaking, trembling uncontrollably. That's what he's saying here when he says, don't be afraid. Be strong, be of good courage, be not terrified, neither be dismayed. That's a whole nother word in itself, the whole dismayed thing. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What is God reminding him? I'm with you. I promise this to you. I'm faithful to my promises. And they go in. And do you know what they find? They find that the people of the land were so terrified that the children of Israel were coming that their heart melted when they heard that the children of Israel were searching out the land. Remember Rahab the harlot? She let them know. She said, oh, their hearts are like wax. Their knees are knocking. Just knowing that you guys are coming, you and your God there that took out Egypt, that took out Sihon and Og. And here you come. For 40 years we heard that you were coming. For 40 years they were like, they're coming, they're coming. And you say to yourself, well, boy, if the children of Israel back there in Numbers 13, if they would only have known what the people were thinking. They did know. Do you remember the song? They're going to melt away. They're full of dread. So they did not remember, or worse, they dismissed what God had done. So as we look at this, remember, courage is not the lack of fear. It's the strength and ability to deal with it. And our strength and our ability comes from God. And we trust in Him. But Father, help us to trust in Your strength and not our own. Help us to truly be assured of Your presence, that we can lean upon You, not on our own understanding, O God. Help us to be assured of Your promises. Help us, O God, to be of a good courage and not dismayed in this life as we live for You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.